You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And my name is Ed Stetzer, and I'm happy to be there. So how is this a hub? I mean, the online hub.
Because a hub online is... Online hub, yeah.
A hub is a central part of a wheel that connects the axle to the wheel itself. So are we like taking this figuratively to mean that we're the center of all church of planting and thus all spokes emanate from us?
That's good. You know, when we came up with this phrase, it was before we started New Churches, you know, what New Churches is today. And I think if you take a look at newchurches.com, I mean, I think it is a pretty good hub for church multiplication resources.
It was
aspirational when we started.
But now it is operational.
I think so.
I like it. That's and you know, New Churches was the OG church planting website.
It was the OG, yes.
Yeah. So that's for you guys who aren't as hip as Daniel and I am. That's original gangsta. And I started New Churches in the mid 90s.
Yeah, that's right.
I just started uploading docs and examples and then Daniel M came along and made New Churches great again.
Well, we basically restarted it.
Yes.
According awesome. To our one of our last episodes, was it a plant or was it a new start?
You know, I think it was a restart because it was pretty tired and needed some new life, new blood, and you were the new life. So I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Today we have a question from Chris Phillips, so let's listen in.
Hey, Todd, Daniel, and Ed, this is Chris in Denver. Really excited. We're launching a church this year, this fall. We're a missional attractional model. And right now I'm in the launch team development and training phase. And so you guys got some great stuff on newchurches.com with Ronnie Parrott's course on launch team. But just talk practically about some things. Here's what to stay away from. Here's some things to go deeper in, so on and so forth. What would you focus on if you could go back and train a launch team for a missional attractional model, gaining a critical mass of people to launch a church well?
All right, so first, just a little bit of context.
I love how he uses the phrase missional attractional. When did we get to put those words together? I think the original authors of missional incarnational are twitching right now.
Okay, so just a little bit of context with Chris Phillips. He is one of our Plus members, so it's great that we can not only answer his question here, but we have office hours that we do with Plus members, and he can take advantage of all of our webinars and downloadables. So I know New Churches has been a help to him, but just a little bit of context. He is planting out of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis.
Yeah.
Right. So Bellevue has sent him out to Colorado. He is being trained with Cherry Hills, with our friends at Cherry Hills right now. So there's a little bit of context there. He is being sent out. He's a NAM planter with the Send Network. So he's well, you know, he has Mother Church. He is being trained. He has a good runway to plant this fall. He moved a couple months back. So yeah, that sometimes helps when we answer his question.
Okay, so he did Ronnie's course. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Ronnie's course on newchurches.com is just the whole idea of developing a core team. So it's one of the premises of his course that he did with us, and Eric Geiger was actually a supervisor on that, was that one of the best ways to develop a core team is to train them to become, I guess, in a sense, the best church members, because the best church members. Yeah. So that's a little bit of the premise behind that.
Well, let's jump it in. Let me open up a cold one to get started. Hold on a second. Okay.
So probably Arizona iced tea, right?
Exactly. the ginseng one that's low carb. So that'll help me to focus. So let's jump in. I know that I love that you know my drinking preferences.
Yes, I do know.
Yep. This is very true because I stack them in my office. All right. So a couple of things. So building a core team, you want to make sure that people share the values and the vision of the church you're planting. And so that's a key thing. You want to make sure that it's not that they're trying to replicate values of some other church or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you come to you go to Cherry Hills. Cherry Hills is actually very different than Bellevue Baptist. Cherry Hills is historically Presbyterian church. It's kind of a seeker-ish church. It's got a lot of Willow influence. The pastor there is a former Willow staffer. Whereas you go to Memphis and Bellevue, and it's more, I mean, it's going to be verse-by-verse exposition, more traditional church, dress-up, suit and tie, those kinds of things. They've got different expressions, different campuses. Yeah. So the question is, what is the culture you're kind of create? Now, if it's, I mean, Denver, you know, I mean, Cherry Hills fits in Denver. And so if it's going to be more like that, you want to make sure that the people that you bring in are that part of that kind of relate to that cultural context. Mm-hmm. So I think that's key. So, but from there, it's how do you train them? I think, as you mentioned, training them to be good church members is going to be key. But I would also say, how do you help them to intentionally engage their neighbors for Christ? You know, there's a, who's it? Jay Pathak's there in Denver, I think. He wrote that book on neighboring, co-wrote that book on neighboring. You know, how are they trained as people on mission in their community? Because what happens sometimes is you gather Christians. They think core group means Christians. So you get then 25, 30, or 50 people who love Jesus and are excited about starting a church, but are not evangelistically active, and then you launch a church and you've got 200 people or whatever, and then they adopt the culture of the first 50 who are not evangelistically active. So I would say early on,
that's huge.
Helping people to have that kind of evangelistic passion is key. Sharing their faith, being able to share the gospel, being able to engage their neighbors in the neighborhood, and more. Those would matter to me. What would you add?
Yeah, well, knowing Chris, since he's one of our Plus members, I mean, this guy is preparing. He had a background in pharmaceutical sales. I mean, the guy is drug incredibly dealer. Sharp. Yes, I guess that's another way of putting it. Yeah, so I mean, this guy is really well prepared. He is preparing well. He has a good runway. And you're right, Ed. I mean, sometimes if you're one of the vices of preparing well is that you have learned so much about other people's models that you don't actually, you haven't spent enough time discerning, okay, what is God specifically calling me to? And if you, I mean, you joked about it earlier, the whole missional, attractional people, you know, the original writers, that they would kind of shudder at that being used in the same phrase or being the same thing. But that is a big, right? That is a big realm of, I guess, ministry opportunities that you have when you say, okay, you know, we're missional, but we're also attractional. Another way of putting it, I mean, Hugh Halter in his book, and I think he wrote it with Matt Smee, you know, they said, we want to gather well and we want to scatter well.
Yeah. Right. That language. I like that language. It is funny though. Now that we've actually put it together as one phrase, missional, attractional. Matter of fact, maybe the first time I heard that, but in the book, and that is that very idea, the gathering and scattering is super helpful. And I think I wrote the foreword to that book, so I like it that much. And so I don't really remember. Maybe I did. But the idea here that I think he has, I hope he has, is that he wants to engage well people relationally and what we might call incarnationally or representationally, and then having done that, to also sort of birth a opportunity for people to invite their friends and to engage others in the process. So I think that's where the attractional part comes in. They're doing something significant, and in doing something significant, people are being drawn to that and to be a part of it. So I think both of those things can very much and very well be true.
Yeah, precisely. So in light of that, Chris, you're asking what should you focus on as you're building a launch team to launch a missional, attractional model of a church plant, and really asking yourself those questions to say, okay, in light of the residency that you're going through, what you've observed at Bellevue, and I know some of your defaults coming from Bellevue are going to be a lot of systems, a lot of structure, it's good to think through that. It's good to have those ready. But my biggest encouragement to you would be to hold those things loosely, right? To have your plans, to prepare well, to structure well, but to hold those plans loosely, because things may shift, and a 50, 100, 150 person church is very different than 8,000 people, 10,000 people at Bellevue. So just understanding that and giving yourself grace to say, hey, I have planned, I did plan, this is what it is, but to give yourself the freedom to chuck it all 6 months in and say, actually, we need to shift it this way. I thought we were going to go here, but we need to now move toward this direction. Giving yourself the freedom to do that and the grace to do that is going to be very helpful as you move forward.
I would agree wholeheartedly. I think it's a good answer.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again for leaving that question. Be sure to subscribe if you have not yet done so and leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, because that does help a lot. Well, we'll catch you next time.
All right, one more.